We left off last week, we were discussing the hachoch of not passing things to one another when one's wife is a nida. So we said that even though it's not actually in the Gemara explicit, some Rishonim saw it in the Gemara a little bit, other Rishonim said it's not really a din, it's really a minig, a chumrah. Whatever it is, the bottom line is it does appear in Shulchan Aruch, and we of course do practice it, that husband and wife should not pass things to one another when the woman is a nida. There are a few very real applications of this. I thought we'd talk about some of the more common shailas that come up and some of the more not so common shailas that come up, just some practical considerations here. So of course the most common shaila in this area is the passing of a baby. So what exactly is the halacha? Is a person permitted to pass a baby when the woman is in nida? So already the Pesach Tshuva quotes, ready from Rishonim, already discussed the shaila, and some wanted to come up with the following very interesting application, the kula. Some invoked the din in Hilchos Shabbos called Chai Nosias Atzmo. There is a halacha that if I carry a person on Shabbos, so that's technically not considered to be a Nisa D'Oraisa. Why is it not a Nisa D'Oraisa? Because the person we view is carrying himself. He's helping along, he's carrying himself. So it's called Chai Nos Yitzatzbo. It doesn't mean that it's Mutter. It means it's also Midrabban. Some people think that Chai Nos Yitzatzbo, everything's Mutter. You're allowed to push baby carriages, you're allowed to carry babies. It's not true. The din is that Chai Nos Yitzatzbo means it's not a Nisa D'Oraisa, but it is a Nisa D'Rabbanan. So some wanted to argue that maybe the same is true here as well. When I hand over a baby, I'm not handing over the baby, I'm not carrying the baby. The baby's going by itself because of Chai Nos Yitzatzbo. So this principle is very, very difficult to understand. First of all, the rule of Chai Nos Yitzatzmo, the Gemara says, doesn't apply if the person is tied up, the person is chained up. So they're obviously not Nos Yitzatzmo. They're not walking by themselves. So the whole din, even in Hilchos Shabbos, wouldn't apply. According to most of the Rishonim, if you have a little baby that cannot walk yet, so that's considered to be like a person that's tied up. So actually, one day in Taisa disagrees, but the other days in Taisa hold that if you have a baby that cannot walk yet, then Chai Nos Yitzatzmo doesn't even apply. That would be an issue of carrying Minat Torah on Shabbos. Again, carrying babies, there's no hetter to carry babies on Shabbos. Either it's Deraisa or it's Derabanan. If the baby is too young to walk, then it's Deraisa. If the baby's able to walk, but just not interested in walking right now, then it would be a Nisim Derabanan. Even to invoke the idea of Chai Nos Yitzatzmo, 99% of the time is not appropriate, because most of the time, you're passing a baby, the baby can't walk yet. So the whole Chai Nos Yitzatzmo doesn't apply. Second of all, Tosfos writes in Masechet Shabbos, the Chai Nos Yitzatzmo was a special din learned out from Mishkan, from Melachos Shabbos. What's up to with Hilchos Nida? So the whole thing doesn't make any sense. That's why the overwhelming majority of the Poskim didn't buy into the story of Chai Nos Yitzatzmo. This was not really considered to be an acceptable reason to be makel to carry babies. So what are we left with? If you don't have Chai Nos Yitzatzmo, so you're left with nothing. That's what many Poskim say. So if you look at all the books in Hilchos Nida, all the kids' books in Hilchos Nida, that's what they say. It means you're not allowed to pass a baby because there's no heter whatsoever. So Rabbi Willig is a big believer in the following kula. He thought that it was mutter for a totally different reason. He thought it was mutter based on something hopefully we'll talk about in weeks to come, that many of the hachokos were lenient on the makom chayla. If the husband's chola, if the wife is a chola, even not pekuch nefesh, chola sheva sakona. Even the hachokos, as we said last week, the only the rabbanon, the exception, possible exception of actual physical affection or touching, everything else is only the rabbanon. So these yisurim, the rabbanon of hachokos, by and large, were lifted by makom chayla. We'll talk about this as we go on. We'll get to the details hopefully again as we get down the line in terms of hachokos, but there definitely is a principle in hachokos that we're very lenient when it comes to makom chayla. Not that different than other yisurim, the rabbanon. There are many yisurim, the rabbanon that were lenient, not all, but there are many yisurim, the rabbanon that were more lenient about the makom chayla. So by really thought that we know from Hilchos Shabbos that a baby has the status of a makom chayla. A baby is always a chayla. It's a chayla, at least a chayla she'ein by sakana. So we thought that when the poskim tell us that we have a right to be maker for a makom chola for the achokos, usually the poskim are talking about the wife's a chola, the husband's a chola. So he says, why is the baby any less of a chola than the husband or the wife? So if you have a little 2-month-old baby, so if you're going to put the baby down, you're not going to hand the baby directly, that sometimes will impinge upon a makom chola. So he said, when did he think it is cool? They thought it is cool once he saw a guy putting the baby down on a car, and the baby started to slide. Rosh Hashanah caught the baby before it ended up on the floor. So he thought that was kuch nefesh. So he thought that was enough for makom tzayr. That he can be making a group to put the baby down on the floor and somebody's going to step on it. He can hand the baby whatever's normal to hand the baby, whatever's necessary. That's considered to fall into the kula of Makom Chola, and the Chokos by and large are Makom Chola. That was his Chiddush. Others did not accept this. And if you look in the regular books, so you won't find it. But if you look in the up and coming Nuchas Nida book, that's going to be published in a couple of weeks, so then you will find that kula in there. So we'll autograph it for you if it actually comes out. So we'll keep you posted. Okay.
Is anyway. 100% of the time, or just in certain, like outside, maybe?
I don't know. It's hard to be machalic. It's hard to, you know, it's hard to be machalic.
I thought,
yeah, it's always a tzarech. I'm typing the baby, and it's always a tzarech. There are other situations that arise, somewhat out of the ordinary situations that arise in terms of the hachok of handing things. Sometimes we run into this problem at a chasen itself. We try as much as we can to avoid the issue of chuppas nida. We spoke a little bit about this last year, that chuppas nida was much more prevalent than in days long ago, 5 years ago, whatever. It was much more prevalent until a couple of years ago. Now, most women go on pills before the chasna to regulate their cycles. Whether it's a good idea, medically, bad idea, medically, good idea, halachically, bad idea, halachically. It's a different story. I can tell you the reality. That's what's going on. Those are the facts on the ground. That the girls are going on these pills. Therefore, the possibility of chuppas nida is greatly mitigated. It does happen, though, even with the best of medications was managed, sometimes things go off. So every once in a while, we still do get a chuppas nida today, but it's nowhere near as prevalent as it was just literally 10, 15 years ago. So shala becomes, if we have a situation of a chuppas nida, so there are a few things under the chuppah that get handed from the chas into the kala. So the first thing is the ring. So gevalt, it's a bad way to start off the wedding. You can't even give it a ring because you're not allowed to hand her anything. So here we have an interesting kula. There are more quotes and opinion that the chokas only exist between one's husband and one's wife. They don't exist between other arayos. And the reason makes a lot of sense, that the chokas are to protect the situation where we're afraid the couple's really going to be chayte. If you're not married yet, so then we assume, of course, you're not going to be chayte. What's the shayla? So obviously the achokas of last week, the chibuk v'nishuv, those are the deraisadik achokas, obviously those apply with if you're not married yet. But some of the more derabbanan types of things, let's say the isurim of not eating together, the isurim of not handing things to each other, those kinds of things. So there are more quotes, one opinion, not everyone agrees, but there are more quotes, one opinion, that these do not apply until the couple is actually married. So that's what our minig is. We usually pretty make when a couple's going out on a date or something. So he hands her a book, he hands her his keys, he hands her a tissue or something. So we assume that that's not a problem. Obviously, they're not permitted to touch, but if it's careful not to touch one another, so then we assume that the chok of handing things doesn't apply until after they're married. So now you have a strange situation. Here they're about to become married. So he's putting the ring on her finger, and in the process of putting the ring on her finger, they're becoming married. So to coin a phrase from a little bit of a different area of halacha, it's gita v'yad b'am kechad. So everyone knows, yeshiva should love this joke. It's kedusha v'yad b'am kechad. So the paskim make it, many paskim make it, not everyone. There are some who say that the kind of eitzes, he should just drop the ring into her hand, because according to some, there's no issue from Zrika, we spoke about last week. Some say she should wear gloves, mice, all kind of different dequinsim. So the bottom line is we have a right to rely on the mekilim, that you can just put it directly on the finger. You should be careful not to touch. Be careful not to touch. But in terms of just the etzem hachacha, so we have a right to be mekil. One should be careful if one is Masada Kedusha and the woman is in need, then one should be careful that either the microphone is off, or that you be careful not to talk into the microphone. There was once a very embarrassing situation where somebody was Masada Kedusha and the wife was in need, and he just wanted to make sure that the husband realized, you know, not to touch, so he was saying how to drop the ring or whatever it was, so he said it into the microphone and 400 people heard it. So okay, you don't want to get sued for malpractice and Masada Kedusha. The second shehef, the child, becomes the handing of the ksuba. So the original kula doesn't apply anymore. So once you're makadisha, then she's already your wife. So then once she's already your wife, so then now the hachokas potentially apply. So now you can't give her the ksuba directly. So that's already a little bit less, obvious. Because the ksuba anyway, you hand it off for a second, and she hands it off to her mother anyway. So if you just block the view a little bit, and you hand it directly to the mother, you figure out an eitz, there's no halacha, you don't have to mamash hand it, you're dying, whatever it is. So you figure out an eitz how to do that, according to those who would be chashish for that. I think so, yeah. So you have dinner with 500 people, you still have a lot of hand things to your wife. Some of the hachokas are a little more... What?
What's going to happen? What's the hachok for?
So if the hachok is gezerah that you make up the touch, so then that may happen even in front of 500 people.
Right? If the gezerah of not touching, is it less than...
The not touching may be necessary of itself. That's what we spoke about last week. That according to some Rishonim, if it's a touching derechiba, that's a necessary deraisa. So according to one day in the Rashba, the whole hachacha of not handing is a gezeirah to touching, which may end up to be derechiba. So that could take place even in public. We don't find any kulas of that particular hachacha in public. We'll find in a minute when we get to the hachacha of eating together, there may be a certain kula if there are other people around. But the hachacha of not handing, we don't find any such kulas. Yeah, it's a further question. Does it apply by Rusa? But it could be that she becomes an Asua right away. Because we pass it like the Ramah. The Ramah says, once you're under the Chuppah, she becomes an Arusa, an Asua, Mamash, all rolled into one. That according to some, she becomes an Asua before she becomes an Arusa. There's a Mordechai that says, when you do the Badekin, she becomes an Asua. Asua. She's not even married yet. No, when she becomes a Mekudeshes, then she becomes an Asua Lamafreya.
There would be.
There would be. Yeah, but according to it's only the Rambam who says that you need a yichud arela be a moser and the rush. The moser
shem. So now a further question: even if she's in a suah, but there's nisa yichud, so is a pasuk that hachok
supply
at that point?
If I can't, maybe the hachok is a mocham in that.
Yeah.
Only when she's mamish ishto lechav. I don't know. Not sure. I thought the poskim have the split that they could do the ring is okay. It's, I thought they tried to tell you to be careful. So maybe I don't know. Stop. There's some akim and lixibosim.
I understand that the get of the yad about
Getha's problem is not really a problem. Because by the case of a get, by the time she is handed it,
it's done. Right? There's no other further action. But here he's got to say something. Just because he gives her something, how do you know that
there's
this kedusha?
No, he has to say,
he
says the
Harep
before he puts it on.
No, so, but what I'm saying is, can you do it the other
way in this way? Yep.
It's not the final act,
so
then.
Yeah, but then the kedusha may not be valid, though. Because the Gemara says that. If for sure won't be the fall, because you have to do it over again. Because the din is that that's what the shtikel yachamat and mos. The Gemara says he's supposed to say that reyat before you put on the ring. Otherwise, you put on the ring and then you say that reyat afterwards. So as a shalom the kedushin, it could be it's good anyway because that sukkah be also Indian. You know, if you need dibur bezmanazeh, everyone's standing on the chuppah together, so that's good enough. Whatever it is. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So there is another common shah that comes up in terms of this harchacha, and that's the issue of carrying things together. Let's say trying to carry something heavy, trying to carry a table together, trying to carry a bookcase together, trying to carry something heavy together, and you have no one else to help. So is that considered to be a problem? I'm handing them. I'm carrying together. So some poskim make it based on a series of considerations. Some poskim say that this is so mufka from derechiba, means a sona. Standing there schwitzing and he's screaming at his wife, you know, he's trying to yank the bookcase into the bathroom, you know, but backwards, like a sideways, you know, to maneuver everything together. Lack of derechibu go to mizah. That's what some want to say. Other say Ravadi Yosef is maker for a different reason. He says, listen, this whole achokah is not a halacha mashum sina. It's not a deraisa. It's not even a real derabanan. It's a psa chumra, psa minig. So Ravadi writes that it's chafiyev shemalav ochi. Person, when the minig was instituted, the chumra was instituted, when it comes to handing keys, so I can simply put the keys down the table, she'll pick it up. When it comes to handing the, passing a cup of soda, she can put it down the table, she'll pick it up. But it's so easy to do. So then the chacham required, the minig Yisrael became, the chumra became, you have to put it down. It's not shayach, it's impossible. They have to go hire somebody up to move the furniture. So it's not shaykh. So when you have a situation where it's just not shaykh to do it otherwise, so b'cheg have a little nog. It's absurd. Rabbi Vajir writes again, different reasons. Mekilim again. There are those who are machmir and of course the one. All these cases, but in this particular chop, when I'm a chuf to go run look for chumras, because whatever the minig Yisrael is, whatever nog umidari darius, one is mechuf to keep, and if shaylas and machleksim, so one has a right to be a little bit more neutral hakol in this area, because again this particular chok isn't really rooted in the Gemara proper, according to most of the Rishonim. It's a later chumra, it's a minig, a chumra, but we keep it, but we're not mechuf to look for chumras in it. There is another hachaka, though, a second hachaka, which is more chamor, because it has its roots, mamish in Chazal. It's not its roots, it appears in the Mishnah. It's not even a Gemara, it's before the Gemara, but it already appears in the Mishnah. That's the issue of eating together. There's a Mishnah in the first parak, Masechah Shabbos. In the sugars of the Yitchaz Dover, the Mishnah speaks about a Zav and a Zav eating together, Hergel Dover. Hergel Dover means they're chibel, means they're afraid they're going to come to be chayti together. So the Mishnah says that a person is not permitted to eat with a woman, she's a Zava, or which is an Eda for that matter, because we're afraid if they eat together, that may lead to other types of activities as well. So this issue is a real din, there's a Dina in the Mishnah, Dina the Gemara, so we're going to have to treat this a little bit more chomer. There is, however, a big machlokes that we've shown him what exactly the parameters of this particular issa. So the Rambam writes, this issa, as Chazal says, lo yerchel ima, not permitted to eat with her. So the Rambam writes, that means eating with a mamish in the same bowl. It means they're sitting and munching on a bowl of popcorn together. They're watching the ball game, munching on a bowl of popcorn together. She's sticking his hand in, she's sticking her hand in. That's called eating with her. But if he's eating on his plate, and she's eating on her plate, and she's eating on the same table, that's not called eating together. So the Rambam says that would be mutach. If we pass like this Rambam, so we can end the share now. Be careful not to share a bowl of popcorn together with your wife when she's eating. But otherwise, everything else would be permissible. But most of the Rishonim do not accept this Rambam. We don't really follow this Rambam. The Rabbi writes, that's not true. The Rabbi writes that Leo Chalima means at the same table. It brings a raya The Gemara speaks about the Isser of a husband and wife eating together, and the Gemara in Chulin compares the two to the Isser of a person eating flesh and milchis at the same table. We spoke about this in the Baal Bechol Shurim. Wait, it's been a few years, we can repeat it for a minute. There's an Isser midrabbanan that I'm not allowed to have flesh and milchis at the same table, and there we're talking about it's at the same table, it's not the same plate. We're eating the flesh and milchis out of the same bowl. You don't eat a Mishnah, you're not allowed to do that, that's obvious. So comes the... So the Rabbit says that just as in the realm of Bas Becholov, the Isser applies even if it's at different plates, as long as it's at the same table. The Isser of eating with the wife, which is a Nida, also applies at the same table. That's how we assume Halacha like this Rabbit. The Rosh, however, says that even though the Rabbit may be right that the Isser applies to even at the same table, but maybe there's another mitigating factor of his manazah. The Rosh says, we know this from Masechet Pesachim, from Tulel HaSeder, when the Mishnah speaks about Akiras HaShulchan bringing the table. They used to, all of a sudden, in the middle of the Seder, they would bring the table out. What do you mean? They were sitting on the floor and they brought out, rolled in a big table? No, they used to eat on these trays. People had their own private little tiny tables, little trays. So the Rosh says, that's what it means, L'yorchel Ima. If a husband and wife sharing a tray together, they're sitting on a little baby table together. It's a little, I don't know, a little tiny bridge table. They sit on top of each other. That's what the Mishnah says is also. But they're sitting at a dining room table. He's over here. She's 20 feet away. So they said, that's not L'yorchel Ima. That's nothing. That was never included in the Achok in the first place. So according to the Rosh, the Achok Kimat doesn't apply with manazeh. So according to the Rambam, the Achok doesn't apply. According to the Rosh, doesn't apply. But l'mais, our minig is neither like the Rambam nor like the Rosh. Our minig is like the Rav, like the other Rishayim that says in Shulchan Aruch, we assume this Achok does apply even with manazeh. So we are careful about this. But in the back of our minds, we know that the Rishayim will disagree with it. That's why we do have certain coolers, notwithstanding the fact that this Achok does appear in the Mishnah. It's a real halacha. It's more chomer than the Achok of handing things. But we do have sometimes these extenuating circumstances. We have certain coolers based on a combination of the fact that we're not even convinced that Achok is really true b'zman hazeh. Either according to the Rambam's reason, it doesn't apply if they're two different plates, or according to the Rosh's reason, it doesn't apply if it's a regular normal sized table like we have today. What are some of the important coolers that we should be aware of in terms of this Achok?
So then, if you're
home
with your wife alone,
that's what we're going to get to. So what are some of the achokas? So some achronim say that maybe we can make if there are other people around. So not everyone agrees to this. Some achronim say no, it's not true. There's no such a hat. There are other people around. And Bas Becholov, we don't have this kula. Yeah, Bas Becholov, we don't have the kula for the obvious reason that Bas Becholov, it's a different chashash. Even though the Gemara compares the two, it's a totally different chashash. I'm afraid I'm eating my pizza, you're eating your hot dog. I'm going to take a bite out of your hot dog. So it doesn't help whether there are other people around. Mashenke na chokov need is that we're afraid that the eating is going to lead to more intimate activities. If there are other people around at the time, it's not going to happen. So that's what some achronim make of. There are other people walking around, so then that would be okay. The poskim are pretty makel about this, and they say that, well, to permit you to eat mamish out of the same bowl of popcorn together, just because other people, that's not appropriate. But maybe not appropriate for other reasons. But for eating at the same table. So anyway, according to the Rambam, it's mutter. And anyway, according to the Rosh, it's mutter. And anyway, we have the shtichel svara. There are other people around, so it's not so intimate. So, but see, with all these things, we can be makel. That's what some poskim say. Many poskim say. That's what the minig, I think, many people have, is that there are other people around, so then they're makel on this achoka. What does it mean, other people around? It means other people who could potentially be like shomrim in this area, who are going to potentially prevent the couple from being intimate immediately. So there's a little baby. A little 6-month baby sitting in the high chair and throwing food at you, that's not called other people around. That's not going to have any effect whatsoever. But if you have older children around who will prevent the couple from being together at that point, so then with some of that would be sufficient to permit eating together. That's what many poskim say, and that's what I think many people will make alike. There was another kula which is rooted in Uchos Basa B'cholov. Remember back from the Basa B'cholov day, so we quoted that there were some Rishonim who say that you're allowed to have Basa B'cholov at the same table, provided that there's a heker, provided that there's something out of the ordinary that wouldn't normally be there. Not everyone agrees that's Machlokes today, and Taisos Ben Shulchan Aruch Mekel, that as long as you have something out of the ordinary at the table, so that would be permissible. So what constitutes out of the ordinary? Something that wouldn't normally be there. So I don't know, you put down something, you put down either, let's say, an empty pitcher that you're not using, so that would be okay. If you have a regular pitcher of water, that's not going to help. But if you put something that's that you're not using at the meal, or something very strange, you put down, I don't know, put down a bottle of mouthwash or something on the table. So things like that would constitute a hacker. What I recommend is not to start scrounging around putting funny things on the table. The most simpler way of doing it, the Boskim says, if you have two separate placemats. So the Boskim say, Boskim Chalav also, if I have a fleshik, I'm eating fleshiks on my placemat, you're eating milk on your mat. So that's like eating two different tables. So that would be okay. So the same should be practiced in the realm of a chasnida as well. They should eat on separate placemats. It doesn't have to be an official form of placemat. A napkin is also a placemat. So if so you're eating dinner together and halava, all the kids are sleeping, and you're actually sitting down and eating dinner together, probably 1 a.m, that's happening. So then what I recommend to do is that somebody should volunteer to put their plate under a napkin. It should always be the husband. Makes the wife feel less conspicuous. The husband will do it. He should put that as food on a plate, on top of a napkin, a paper towel, or a placemat, whatever it is. And sure, then that's good enough. You don't have to start scrounging around putting bottles of a mouthwash on the table. There is a related hachoko to this isser of eating together, and that's what some rishonim have, what's called eating mishiyori macholo, that a husband shouldn't eat the leftovers of his wife. Where in the world did this, doesn't mean that you can't eat over the leftover cholent on Tuesday night. That would be a good chumra. Maybe we should come with a chumra. That's not what it means. It means if she just finished eating a bowl of food, and she didn't finish, she ate up, she had a piece of tekel, and she left it over, you don't want to throw it in the garbage, so you're going to come over and nibble at the left of big tzaddik, you're going to come and finish off a pedetical. Sitkos, I see it.
Would that be an asajo kolos, I say, kind of thing? I say
I'm
not wasting or something to that effect to try to prevent it, right?
I'm telling you, Mamish, I can't even begin to fathom your level of your Shemayim. Okay. There's always, there are going to be a few people in the world who are listening to this, trying to figure out who is this guy I'm talking to all the time. We should introduce ourselves later. Okay. Where in the world does this hachokah come from? It doesn't say it in the Gemara explicitly. So it doesn't say in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is lo yochal azav mazav. What is this? Shiur machola. So the roots for this are the story of Masechet Shabbos, where the Gemara talks about remember that Talmud who violated the hachokah. So the Gemara lists off all the terrible things that he did. So he wasn't careful about the hachokah. So one of the things he wasn't careful about is that he used the lashon ochali mi vishasi mi. His wife. This was the wife speaking. That he ate with me and he drank together with me. So what does it mean? Ochali mi vishasi mi. So if you'd ask me, I would say that meant they violated the Chok of the Mishnah. That's where the story is. The story appears in Masechet Shabbos, commenting on the Mishnah about Yochel Azav Mazava. So I would say that the Gemara, the Brice is not adding anything to the Mishnah. We know this already, not to eat together. So Ochli Mivishasimi just means we ate together in a way that was inappropriate, that was a violation of the Chokhets. That's what the overwhelming majority of the Rishonim say. How do I know they say this? Because they don't say anything else. So all the Rishonim who don't quote anything else, the Rambam, the regular Rishonim that just quote the Isser in the Mishnah of Lo Yochel Azav Mazava, and don't quote the Brice that they add any other dimension of this. So hold that, it doesn't say anything. But there's one day in Rishonim, the Sefer Yireim, Rav Lazar Mitzvah, the Talmud of Rav Ben Etam, who said no, that the Gemara means a different twist. Lo Yochel Imi means not only are we not permitted to eat together, but he's not even allowed to eat anything that she had eaten from. She ate half a piece of kugel, now he wants to finish off that kugel. If she drank half a cup of soda, he wants to finish off that soda, that would be a problem of Shirei Macholim. So Chiddush Gadol of the Sefer Yireim. Believe it or not, we pass like that. So that meaning is like that. Again, to say that it's an absolute achok on the ikur adin, it's not as chomer as tachay, obviously, it's not even as chomer as eating together mamish, but this achok did make it into Shulchan Aruch. For whatever reason, this daya was accepted in the halacha, and that the minig Yisrael has become this way, and we do follow this practice of not eating shirim acholah. It's quoted. It is Shulchan Aruch, yeah, it is. So we are knowing for this. Nevertheless, the Ramah quotes a whole series of kulas within this achok of achila shirayim, shirayim for the rebbe, shirayim from your wife. That at the end of the day, probably this achok becomes not as relevant as it sounds. So first of all, for some strange reason, which is hard for me to understand, is that shirim machala only goes in one direction. He's not allowed to eat her leftovers, but she's allowed to eat his leftovers, which is usually against the rules of the achokas. As we'll see, the general rules of the achokas are that whatever he can't do to her, she can't do to him. Let's say, for argument's sake, he's not allowed to pour her a cup of wine, she's not allowed to pour him a cup of wine. If she's not allowed to make the bed for him, he's not allowed to make the bed for her. I know it wouldn't be relevant for many people, but usually the achokas go in both directions. Somehow, for some reason, and again, it's hard to understand why, the Yireim claims it based on the Lashon HaGemara. It's hard to understand, but that's what it says. When I'm going to look for chumras in this area, that he's not permitted to eat her shirayim, but she is permitted to eat his shirayim. So if he ate the half a piece of ten kugel and she wants to eat the rest, so then tavu alechem barachem. Again, not too relevant for many reasons. Number one, it's unlikely she's going to want the piece of potato kugel, and it's unlikely there's going to be any shiraim of potato kugel. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Then there are other kulos. Ramah writes that this iser only applies if it's mamash achilas shiraim shalah. So what does that mean? That means if it was mamash hard plate, let's say for argument's sake, you bring out a big bowl to the table of children. There's a serving bowl of children. And the wife takes some of the children, puts them into her bowl. So now the whole children toss it up. You can't eat any more children that Shabbos. No. It means if the food was miyuchet for her, if it was about her plate, and now she starts nibbling away and then he wants to take the rest, that's a problem. But if it's a serving bowl, then it's b'chol not a problem. Well, let's say you have somebody else who eats in between. Let's say you have a cup of juice. So the wife takes half a cup of juice. Then your kid comes in and takes another sip. And now the husband wants to drink the rest. That's not shiur machol. That's shiur rei. The last person who tasted it. So it may not be the best hygienic reasons, but Levi's, as long as somebody else ate in between, that would also be okay. Then there are more rights, another kula, that this sister only applies if the wife is there. If she's standing in front of you, as we're going to see a little bit later on, maybe next week, certain achokos only apply b'fnei ha'isha. Let's say we mentioned before about the making of the bed. The Gemara says that they're not allowed to make each other's beds, so the Gemara says that's only true b'faneha, b'fanav. If she's standing in front of him, that's considered to be, you know, that may be lead to certain things. But if the husband's at work and she's making the bed, he's not there, so that's hetter gomer. So the Ramah writes, the same is true. He's eating achshura machala. So that's us. She's standing in front of him, and he's eating that delicious half of cold piece of potato cook left over. And so that's shura machala. But if she's already in the kitchen, and he snuck it out, and is eating it in the garage or something, so that would be okay. So that, sometimes you have this, sometimes you have shura machala. You know, the couple's going somewhere, they buy a can of soda, neither one wants a whole can of soda, so you can do it in different ways. So either the husband drinks first, and he should be mentioned, leave out for half. If the husband drinks first, then the wife is permitted to have shirei, mashke shalom, mashke is the same as oichel, even though it's in the same shul. Some who draw a distinction between the two, but in the Rishonim we don't see that distinction. So the either the husband should drink first, or if the wife drinks first, so then he should take it and go around the corner, whatever, go. He doesn't see if he's not standing and watching her, so then it would be mutter. Or, the Ramah writes, let's say he transferred it into another kli. So if he takes the half a can of soda and he pours it into a cup, so that's for sure mutter. That's already a paru chadash bolakat. So if he takes the half a bowl of chulent and he puts it into a new bowl, so the stuff, that would also be okay. So that's all not considered to be shirim echal. Again, it's hard to know all these klolim, all these rules. The Ramah quotes one, it's all from a trimus adeshin, one after another, after another. All these coolers, again, the whole thing is very, very shaky. The whole issue is a very, very shaky achocha. We don't really know exactly where it comes from. It has its roots a little bit in this Gemara. So again, it's a pasha, it's a minhag Yisrael. It's a chumra within the realm of eating together. We should observe this. So again, we should observe this achocha. It's quoted by the later poskim. It has been the minhag Yisrael for several hundred years. So we do observe it, but we're not mechuyav to be more machmir than any of these coolers. So the bottom line is it doesn't go from husband to wife, and it doesn't go with shalom b'fanav, for it's trans. It's somebody else, and somebody else drank in between. Any of the above coolers will be sufficient to avoid this. The bottom line is, you can probably count on the fingers of one hand how many times this thing actually really comes up in terms of life. You can usually figure out a way to be pretty makel in this archocha. We now move from the realm of archochas and food to the realm of archochas in terms of the bedroom. So here, the source for the achokos in the bedroom are that brisa with the story of the Talmud. The Gemara says that the Talmud's wife related that they used to sleep in the same bed. That was one of the achokos that they violated. One of the assumed that they did is that they slept in the same bed. So the Rishonim say, you see from here, you're not sleeping in the same bed. It's mefarish. You're not permitted to sleep in the same bed, even if the couple is fully dressed and it's a big bed. He's on one side, and the other side is a king size, queen size, 100 size. Doesn't matter if it's the same bed, so the couple is not permitted to sleep together. And the woman is Anita. The Ramah quotes from the Mordechai that not only are the couple not permitted to sleep in the same bed when the woman is in Nida, but they're not even permitted to sleep in two beds if the two beds are touching one another. Because there are different reasons why. So some say that it's a Samar Zayin, it looks like one bed, it's different svaras that are given, but that's what the Ramah says, that the two beds should not be touching one another. The beds have to be separate a little bit. How separate do the beds have to be? So the Ramah doesn't give you a shit, doesn't tell you how much, how far apart they have to be. So the later post can give you a different shirim, how far apart the beds have to be. So I can give you any one of 500 different shirim to figure out. Some say that the arm test, that means you have to lay in bed and see, does your arm reach the other amma? big, depends on your omens. So some say the roll test. I mean, you roll out of one bed. If you end up on the floor, then you know you're far enough. If you end up in the other bed, then you're too close for comfort. Some give you psada eats as different svaras. I don't know. The baby roll test. I don't know. Whatever it is. Kids are different shiurim that we're given, different minhagim that developed in terms of figuring out how far it is. But I tell people the easiest test is a roll test. You don't have to actually do it. You should just look intelligently and see that if you roll from one bed to the next, it'd be basically you fall between the beds, fall between the cracks. So then that's far enough. You're not mechuyev to put night tables there. You're not mechuyev to put other things. You're not mechuyev to roll the beds miles apart. But the bed should be distinctly apart when the woman is in nida. There is a question about all kinds of different kinds of contraptions that may take two beds and turn two beds into one bed. So what would that locha be if you have bunk beds? What's the din? Your last thing with a bunk bed. So in all our years of married life, we had the shot of one time. Somewhere, I might say for Shabbos, it was not a bed. Kids have bunk beds. So some make on that, others a machmir. If you don't want to be making on the bunk bed, so one of you has to sleep on the floor. We know, of course, which person that's going to be to sleep on the floor. So my serious nefesh with her, yeah. Yes, that's a further shadow, right? That's not a shadow. What's the din if you have a common headboard, but the beds of the mice are not the touching? So there are different opinions about that. It's hard for me to say, sir, but I would say if a couple's buying a headboard and they could buy seven headboards, matoiv, or if they could take the bed, those bed comes off that board. Not too much of a headboard. No, it comes off. Can't be taken off easily. Not so easily. There are mekilim about separate, as long as the beds are separate from one another. There are mekilim about the same headboard. I don't know. The covers should not be touching when they're sleeping. So the sheets of the cover should not, blanket should not be touching. That's another shia. Some people say it should be far enough that the blankets don't touch one another. So you should be careful. It's the same as clothing. Let's say a couple is sitting very close to one another and the clothing are touching. That's a problem. That shouldn't happen either. Someone just asked me the shayla about the plane. It comes very tricky when a husband and wife travel together. When a woman is in nida, so I'm not. I'm not saying that you have to have separate seats. I'm not saying that, I mean, you have to have separate seats, obviously. But I'm not saying you have to sit in different rows than your wife. I'm not saying you have to have the aisle between them. I'm not saying that, but one has to exercise caution, especially when flying, that lamais, you're not supposed to be touching. Your clothes are not supposed to be touching either. So, chacham in a barosho, you should try to do it. You'll be from, you'll stay up the whole flight. So, you make sure you stand omen al hamishmar that. And then you get to get the extra half a piece of potato cooker from the leftovers from the plane pack. So, yeah. I don't think it's derech anything at that point. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the story. So within the realm of the bedroom, we have this achacha. The ikra din is obviously not to sleep in the same bed. Then you have these extensions of two beds touching, etc. All these things which are subsumed under this achacha as well. There is another achacha in the realm of the bedroom, and that's the issue of the husband or the wife maybe sleeping on each other's beds, even if the other person is not there. So that's also considered to be a problem. What's the mokah for that? So there's the Rashba, there's a Psaraya, a whole people about that, where exactly this hachaka comes from even. But this is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that one is not supposed to sleep on each other's beds. There is a further question, how far this applies. Does this apply even to sit on each other's beds? That's also a shayla. Bottom line is, at least from the husband's vantage point, the wife's bed should be off limits. When a woman's in nida, he doesn't sit on it, doesn't lay on it, stays away. That's off limits in terms of ilchas nida. There is a question in the poskim as what's considered to be her bed. Let's say you have a couch downstairs. They both take naps on it once in a while. That's not called the her bed. Her bed means her bed. This is her bed. So the time when she's in nida, you shouldn't sleep on that bed.
If you never sleep on that couch, but she always sleeps on the couch, if there's a couch in the living room.
If it's mamish miyuchat for her, then nobody else.
Not miyuchat for her, she just, you know.
The kids don't lay down on it.
She reasonable sleeps there.
The kids don't lay down on it. Nobody lays down on it.
Oh.
A lot of people lay down on it. The further shayla, how do you have, can you switch beds? Let's say you want to switch teams. So how much in advance do you have to switch beds? All of a sudden she's in need. Okay, now it's time to switch beds. Is that good enough? You have to have slept in it for a couple of nights. So again, all these things are very unclear. No riots or any of this stuff. The whole achok of not sleeping in our bed is not absolutely a medina de gemara. Sleeping in the same bed with her is a medina de gemara. But they're not sleeping in her bed when she's not there. Pasha is not medina de gemara. It's a chumra, it's a binag that we have. Again, we should follow it. But once had a shayla, complicated Shiloh once. There was a, I forget what the story was, the couple was in a place, they were for a couple of days, that there was only one bed there, so I don't know if they were, I forgot her name. She had allergies. He had allergies. One of them had an allergic attack to the bed. She was sleeping on the floor. He was sleeping on the floor. Then she came a need in the middle. They wanted to know, they changed bed. Not, I forgot. I tell you true. I forgot about all the problem in the story. But the shot revolved around. Can you switch beds? Can you? What's considered to be mita miucheres laws? The Bali Shulchan quotes different sheets in Achrayim again. It's hard to pin any of this stuff down. There's all chumras and hugim to try to stay away from the wife's bed. But the bottom line is whatever's considered in halacha to be her bed should be avoided at the time when the woman is in need. Well, let's show next week. We'll continue a little bit more.